It is 9:37.
I'm going to renew my motion to continue this to the April 4 meeting. And I would request that the certificate of holder appear in person.
Second.
There's been a motion, and there's a second. Any discussion?
As part of that, I'd like staff to go through the communications and verify whether or not we received anything from.
We did as we were sitting here.
I know,
but we'll do it again.
A little more robust review.
Yes. So we have a first and a second to continue and require the complainant to appear in person. You are in discussion.
Any other discussion?
I think my discussion is I'd almost like to move this to a formal hearing as opposed to continue an informal hearing.
I understand your concerns.
Yeah.
That I think we'll be able to handle all the stuff that we'd like to do in a formal without making this a formal. I agree. Let's see if we can't bring her in and have a more coherent discussion. Mm-hmm. All right.
Mm-hmm. And you're concerned, Dr. Steele, there's an obvious problem here. I share the same concern.
Okay. So, unless there's any further discussion, let's call the question.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Aye.
Okay, so that takes care of that item. Let's move to item 5D1, case number 18-32, John Butler, physical therapist.
We skipped.
You're right. I even have an arrow here.
Right. Can we revisit one?
Yeah. Go back to 5C1.
I just wanted clarification. I just wanted to revisit this briefly to get clarification on the record. When we keep it in the file, can someone describe what that means?
I think it just means it's in the minutes.
Yes. It's in the minutes, so it's reflected in the
minutes. Which is available to the public.
Perfect, thank you.
Did you want something hard copy?
No, I just wanted to ensure that it was adequately reflected in the minutes.
Yeah. So if somebody wants to find out what was discussed, then it will be there.
Thank you.
So let's move to 5C2, AR, physical therapist. This is a potential of opening up a complaint. Mm-hmm.
I move that we take no action.
Second.
All right, any discussion?
Ms. Remick?
The motion is to take no action.
The motion is to take no action.
Yes, I vote in favor.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Aye.
Okay, now we get to 5D1, case number 18-32, John Butler, physical therapist. This is an initial review, so we can do just about anything. So we can move it to an informal, we can move it to a formal, we can offer a consent, we can dismiss. Okay?
Correct.
I just want to clarify the complaint, 1832 here, it indicates that he's a PTA. On the agenda, it indicates he's a PT.
He is a PTA.
Thank you.
What discussions?
I would move that we offer him a disciplinary consent agreement where he is censured and pays a $500 fine. If he doesn't accept the disciplinary consent agreement, I would invite him to an informal hearing.
Is that your motion?
That's my motion.
I'll second.
Do you feel like there's a need for any continuing education or anything else in that other than fine?
Not to beat up your girlfriend. I don't know if you have a class on that.
No, I was thinking more about even in like a jurisprudence, take the jurisprudence exam. Or
I don't think anyone would think that his conduct was acceptable. Mm-hmm. I don't think he didn't know the law. I think he
$15 each.
But even if he didn't, that's no excuse for his conduct.
Just, all right, I'm just trying to clarify, make sure. All right, do we have a second?
You do?
I do.
I'm good. Any other comments? All right, so.
So the motion is to offer Mr. Butler a consent agreement with a decree of censure, a $500 fine. If he does not consent, he'll be moved to an informal hearing.
Okay.
You're still in discussion?
I'm still in discussion. I also wanted to know, in addition to this, can we have, I recognize that the point of discussion for us here is the not reporting. But for me, there's sort of a larger safety issue here. So I'm just wondering if we can, in addition to your motion, if you would entertain an amendment to indicate, a reminder of sorts about what is appropriate conduct.
We could put it
He's
in
done
a...
some classwork.
He did attend.
That's fine.
I guess
we could put a letter of what we call it?
Letter of concern or advisory letter.
Advisory letter. But advisory letter is going to say what? Support yourself professionally at all times. I think the degree of censure is we're telling him, because I don't think this is related to physical therapy. He wasn't practicing. She wasn't a patient. This is an extra professional action. But we don't want. It's wholly inappropriate for a member of the profession. And so I think we censure him. We say, well, you did something wrong. Now that's going to go in his record. People can look that up. But I can't think of a course that we could offer him in continuing education. I don't think an advisory letter, that's a lesser sanction.
True. And censure. Just to clarify, I mean in addition to. And again, my thought being, I know that the issue here is the not reporting, but to me there's a larger issue of just safety and vulnerability of people. And so that's my concern. So I was thinking if we could somehow attach a reminder of professional conduct in addition to the censure, I would be in favor of that.
What goes out to the licensee with a decree of censure?
So the decree of censure looks very similar to a board order that would have the decree of censure embedded into the language as well as the probationary term to be able to pay the fine.
Okay. It sounds like it would be similar to a letter.
It's an actual order. Yep,
right?
It's an actual
content.
Order, correct.
Okay.
I think it has greater consequences than this is discipline.
Right.
Correct.
The advisory letter is non-disciplinary.
Correct.
And I don't like the idea of mixing a non-disciplinary with a disciplinary.
Do we have any idea? He's been certified as a PTA since 2016. Do we have any idea of good moral character when he initially applied? Do we have any history of this? Is this a single solo situation, or is there something in his file that's just not part of this? But we do have a pattern.
Can I answer? Yes. He has no prior discipline at this time.
Karen, his initial, he have a...
Well, he has no discipline at this time, but in his application, there was a GMC issue.
Sorry,
is that correct?
Yes,
that's
an issue.
Yes.
In his application,
he did have a GMC issue.
Related to...
That you reviewed and allowed him to be certified.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
I'm not sure how relevant past conduct is on whether he should get this.
The fact that we approved it,
yeah,
kind of that ship sailed. So, what other comments, questions? I think we have a second, correct?
You do.
All right. So, what else do you need before we can call the question?
I'd like to keep the motion the way it is.
Okay.
All
right.
That's fine.
Let's
okay. So you have a first and a second to offer Mr. Butler a consent, a decree of censure, a $500 fine. How long does he have to pay the fine?
6 months.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Aye. Thank you for your enthusiastic.
I'm sorry, I am fully in favor of the motion, I'd like that on the record.
Okay, so we are at item 5D2, case number 18-18, Nicholas Hunter, physical therapist.
I need some help on this one. I think we need this one for an informal interview. Mm-hmm. But I don't know enough about PT to,
well,
to know.
I think you're on the right track. I think that I think his notes are severely deficient, or he's just a horrible physical therapist because he documents hardly anything. And what he does document, he then treats for something that he just said doesn't exist. So I think we need to go at least to an informal hearing.
I don't know if there's a consent agreement that we could offer at this time, but you know, my thoughts were just to bring him back for an informal interview.
Yeah, I think an informal...
We call it an informal hearing.
An informal hearing, I think, would be mm-hmm. appropriate.
And this would be for substandard care?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not for documentation?
I think
that's part of it. That's all part of it.
I'm just saying, should we
so
notice
he was
my
cited
documentation
for
if that's what we're
he
discussing?
He was cited for substandard care. If you elect to move to a hearing, you could elect to add more potential violations of law.
Yeah, so there's documentation, there's billing, there's substandard care.
So let's add at least billing.
So you want to add to it ARS 32-2044-13, charging unreasonable fraudulent fees for services performed or not performed. And you would like to add ARS 32-2044-20, failing to maintain adequate patient records.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You should probably do that vote first and then do your hearing vote.
Okay.
So we should get a first and a second.
I move to add those allegations as stated.
Second.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Okay.
I move that we invite Mr. Hunter back for an informal hearing.
Dr. King? Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Greer?
Hi.
Mr. Greer.
There's a juris doctor.
That is a juris doctor.
We're gonna get you an honorary degree. We're gonna do
a lawyer to a doctor.
Yes. Yes. We'll send you back to school.
Okay. next is item 5D3, case number 19-03, Scott Gilbert. And
the question I have is, do we have jurisdiction over Mr. Gilbert? He is not a licensee.
Yes, you do,
okay.
Because he's holding himself out as a licensee.
Okay. I know there's a statute that's going to give us a little more, but I know that's not hasn't been passed yet.
Yeah.
Or it's not applicable to get out of it.
Well, they're trying to make it a classified felony.
I noticed that.
Right, so. Correct. So I have given you the statutes that would apply to somebody identifying themselves a physical therapist who doesn't currently hold an active license. So in this case, you can see that he has modified his credentials after receipt of the complaint.
So as history here, his license was revoked, and this is a new complaint.
Correct.
Can we at this time consider
re-revoking
it?
Once you're dead, you're dead.
I was saying to Ms. Kelly's previous point of a pattern, like do these cases aggregate? And
so,
can we send this to the Attorney General's office?
Yes.
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 I don't think we refer this to the Attorney General's office since they want to prosecute. That would be my motion.
Second. Any discussion?
My, you know, I read through it, and then I found out that he'd fixed everything, and then I thought, well, there's nothing left. I mean, he's fixed everything you complained about. I think the motions on the table gets to the same end. The Attorney General will decide, and more than likely, it's not gonna be top of the heap, but maybe it will. Who knows? So I'm okay.
Can I just tell you what else there is for us to do?
There is. There's almost nothing. I mean, we could send him a letter saying, "Shame on you! Don't do that." I think sending it over to the AG's office might send a better message.
Could we even issue a fine if we don't open a case? I mean, there's no fine mechanism because he's not licensed.
Correct. You could bring an action. You could refer to the Attorney General's office for possible criminal prosecution. You could bring an action to get an injunction against him to keep him from using those credentials, but he's already moved it.
Mm-hmm.
But those are essentially the remedies that are available to you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So you have a motion to refer to the Attorney General's office. You have a first and a second.
Any what other discussion? I'll call the question.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Okay. We are on to item 6, review, consideration, and action on the April newsletter.
So what you have before you is a proposed newsletter. Any of that newsletter can be deleted, modified, or you can add things that you believe are important to be included that are missing. Or you can, and you can pass it to be distributed, or you can say, please don't.
I think that you did a nice job.
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
I have a number of what I consider, they'll be nuisance to you, but they're small, because they're all just small. Missing comma or something. So I think it'd be, rather than going through all of them, maybe it would be
easier if you could send it to me.
Email it to you, and if you've got questions, because I when I downloaded it as a PDF, it came up as an image, so I can't add text to it. I can highlight things, so I highlighted them, and hopefully you'll be able to say, oh, I know what's missing here.
Sure.
Okay? So I'll just email my suggestions.
Okay.
Okay?
As a point of discussion, the last page, page 10, currently indicates licensee and certificate holders who are disciplined by the board, name and license number, as well as the associated violations. And I would be in favor of somehow, to me, the newsletter's value is more the violation and the outcome, and so I'm wondering if it would be reasonable to de-identify to a certain extent and use initials instead of names.
The names don't bother me, but I think a little more description of what happened might be helpful.
Because, I mean, we have an individual who's been revoked, and I can't remember all of the cases, there might be someone here who missed a CEU or didn't report in 10 days, and somehow I feel like that representation isn't adequately identified here, unless you happen to know the law violations.
I tend to agree that, you know, one of the beauties of a newsletter is to use it as a piece of education. And so when looking at, you know, gosh, this person got probation for not reporting in 10 days, I forgot I need to do that. You know what I mean? So as opposed to me going and looking at the statutes, just having a brief summary of what each thing meant would be, I think, very impactful for the professional in our
Can't they put a link?
They can go, so just so you know the options that are available. So if they would go to the website and then Google this person, right, because we've provided their name, they would actually have access to the entire board order, which would in detail tell them what was going on. But it's a secondary step for them to take that step to really, if they're interested, to find out what the probation was all about, or the revocation or the surrender. So if they have the name, they can go and further investigate if they choose, and have full access to the board order that surrounds this particular outcome.
Could we potentially identify that to a link to the board or something like that?
A paragraph that says to find, to
maybe a paragraph, a sentence.
Just a sentence.
The sentence that says, if you're looking for more information, please search the person on the board website.
No, just in the link to, for more information, just a link to the board's website.
Yeah, I can do that.
I like the idea. Just for, if you're interested in more information, they can also dig through the meeting minutes if they wanted to. You don't always know exactly which month.
And not everyone knows if these are details are, like, honestly, it is surprising to me the number of practitioners in our state that don't know what's on the board website and where to find things. So I think guiding them back to the website, the more frequently we can get them to our website, the better job we're doing is educating them on what resources are on our website for practitioners in our state. Mm-hmm. So let's get them to the website.
Okay.
I think it's great. whoever put this together did a great job. It's a nice combination of education, problem solving, and then and updates on what's happening in our practice across the country.
And the intent is to do it every 6 months would be our intent. We would only publish the names once a year because that's what we're required by statute, but to actually have a biannual newsletter, that mostly because there's going to be a bunch of information once the compact starts, and the PTAs need to understand category A, B, and C, which we didn't put in this newsletter because we thought it was getting a little lengthy. So there's some information already we want to put in the newsletter that's about to happen in 6 months.
If you need any help with this, I'm happy to help with the newsletter.
Excellent. Very good.
So please don't hesitate to reach out. I'm happy to help with it.
Okay.
So I'll make the motion to adopt the newsletter as is.
With the modifications.
Yeah. That's not my motion, sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, thank you. thank you, Nate.
Maybe. Actually, okay, I'll let you make the motion.
Changed my mind.
I'm struggling. So help me through here. The motion
to adopt the newsletter with the suggested corrections.
Suggested corrections. Thank you, John. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Aye.
Excellent.
Okay. Item 7, board business and reports. First one is financial update.
So I give you the financials. Are there any questions on the financials? We're still doing very well with the excess that we believe we have in the next 3 months. We're going to try to get everything we need ahead of time because this is a special year for us with the budget. We're also in the process to get new law books because we've had so many changes since the last one was actually made. To have the new law books printed and binded. So we are in the process of doing that. And we can thank publicly Ms. Hiller for putting it all together for us. So we appreciate her efforts for that. And then the compact, the state will make it effective April 6th. We have the opportunity to decide on what date you would like to make it active and notify the FSBPT of the active date. So we can make it the 6th on the day that it's active. I am investigating just one legal question yet about the process for it, but we are all set up, we are compliant, we have transmitted our data, so at the moment we say go, then people will be able to purchase the compact privilege from Arizona.
How much time do we have?
To
to make it effective? Can 30 days, 60, a year?
It's entirely up to us. But if you want to not make it effective on April 6th, I would say that we table this, put it as an agenda item so you can pick a date, and we can take this up at the next meeting if you do not want it to be the active date of when it becomes effect for the state.
Was there any benefit to not having it become effective, the active date?
It sounds like there's still a pending legal question, so I would be in favor.
It's a process question. It won't stop the compact in any way, but it's a process question on just some of the processes that they would like us to engage in. But it won't stop or hinder the actual engagement of the compact.
What is the staff being preferred to set a date?
Well, we have to do it at some point, so you can either set it for April 6th or you can set it for a time that's, it really doesn't matter.
As long as we've got everything ready to go, then I'd say let's just use April 6th.
I would be agreeing.
If there's a few things that we needed to kind of do on our end, in the office, whatever, to get ready to make sure that we've got everything in line, then I'd say let's postpone it.
No, we've done all the testing and we are ready to run. They've received our data for the last 4 weeks, so they are, and they've confirmed that all the glitches are out of the system. So they can turn on the switch, and literally it's turn on the Arizona as a state, and then people can start applying for the compact.
And you said they've confirmed that the glitches are out of the system.
Yeah, it was a matter of we had a couple of duplicate license numbers, or at least they did for us. We only had one, but they had two. And confirming what those handful of people actual licenses was. So we download our entire database into theirs every Wednesday is what we do, so that they can stay abreast of the people that they're in active standing before they give the compact.
Is there any training or anything education-wise that we as a board need to know before or right or around April 6th? Or
no. The process for a person getting a compact license is that it's entirely out of our hands. Mm-hmm. So they go to the FSB website, which you saw in our newsletter. We give them instructions how to do that. They will actually pay the fee. We have zero fee, so we are going to get no income from anybody doing the compact, because that's the way we set it up when we went through the legislative process. They pay for that. They do have to do the jurisprudence exam prior to getting the compact. It is up to staff to tell the compact that they have passed the jurisprudence. We had some points of contention on that, but we lost. And so there's some staff time required to ensure that. And then the process for the board is simply if a compact individual runs into a complaint, that we will have to investigate, spend our resources to investigate, adjudicate that complaint. Either way, whether the individual, their home state is here and they've got disciplined in another place, or they're a compact privileged individual in Arizona whose home state is a different state. Either way, we will have the dual responsibility of investigation.
So they'll be investigated by both states?
Potentially. The home state gets to decide if they want to investigate or not, depending upon the investigation of the state that the violation occurred in.
When I was reading the information yesterday on the FSB website, correct me if I'm wrong, but did it say that the licensee is their responsibility to notify the board and the state in which they are working as a compact therapist?
No, there's no requirement. We will not know who or how many people will be actually using the compact in our state, ever.
Really?
We will have a list of the people who have compact privileges, but they do not have to notify us when they're here.
I see. So we'll know that they've got a compact privilege, but we won't know if they're actually functionally working in the state. Mm-hmm.
We'll never know if they're actually in the state unless there's a problem.
Who's our board member who's a representative for the compact? Did you have any meetings recently?
We had a kickoff meeting in January. Probably could have been an email. and then we get updates as new states are added to the compact. Most recently, Virginia and
Kentucky.
Kentucky. But apart from that, we have questions we can raise them.
There's also some information on the FSBT website from the minutes from our annual meeting that they went through compact information like that. So don't have access, I'm happy to share it with you.
Okay, and just to clarify, either from Josh or Karen, what, when you say the information that we are providing as a state to the FSBPT every Wednesday related to the compact, can you expound upon that?
So we literally put our entire licensee database into an Excel file, so I do that manually, and then we transfer that data securely to the portal that the compact has set up for Arizona to transmit that data, and then they receive it and maintain it.
And that's including possible complaints, active complaints?
No, the database is the licensure. Okay. It's the licensure file information is what's being sent.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So April 6th will be our turn-on date.
Do we need a motion for that?
No, because it's really not agendized that way.
It's just a report.
Okay, call the public.
Wait, before you do that, Mr. Cornwell, was there another business matter that you wanted to take care of?
Probably have I forgotten.
Special meeting?
Oh, special meeting. Thank you very much.
And I would prefer that we do that next week, if we could do it next week.
Okay. So, when's everybody available for a special meeting?
I prefer Monday, Wednesday, Friday, but we can do it at lunch on any day.
I prefer lunch it on any day.
Okay.
Would it be definitely here?
You can do it. We can do it by phone.
Okay.
Oh,
you're welcome to be here, but we can do a special meeting by phone.
So the week of April 1st.
So.
It's easier for me if it's a Monday, Wednesday, Friday, but it really doesn't matter.
I'm available either Monday or Wednesday or Friday.
Monday at lunch.
Lunch being what time?
Well, do you want?
I'm probably not going to be available at lunch.
Okay.
So,
what do you want to add?
Thursday, you said?
Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Yeah. If you get the...
My GMC kid?
Oh.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yeah.
Would I be able to add one of my kids to that special meeting? The for voting, if I get the...
An agenda item.
Evaluations?
Two agenda items on your special meeting?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So then maybe we should make it Wednesday? Does that serve?
Unfortunately, I might have my confirmation hearing on Wednesday.
You might.
I'll be there, too.
Oh, nice.
We can do it from next door.
You'll be around.
Monday at 1?
But then
Monday.
You might not be confirmed, and so...
Yeah.
Then, Nishka, you become president.
That's true.
Okay, so we have a special meeting set for Monday at 1 o'clock.
It works for me.
I've got class from 1 to 3. How about 10 o'clock?
Okay, great.
Monday at 10 o'clock a.m. Anybody? Karen, I know you're in the clinic.
I'm in the clinic.
Noon?
If I have... I can make noon. I just need to, I'll need to rearrange some people, but... I can do noon if that's the only time everybody else.
I can do 11:30.
Eleven thirty to 11:45. We're auctioning it off. 11:30.
That work for you, Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Okay. So special meeting set with two agenda items on 11:30. I will put out that notice. The notice will be
done in a half hour, right?
Oh yeah.
I would imagine it could be done in a half hour.
For sure.
Okay. And I'll send out notice to each of you. I'll send out notices to
That's
the two agendas.
April 1st.
April 1st.
At 11:30.
And I'll get those items out as soon as I receive
thought
them.
Of that,
okay.
Actually.
Great, thanks.
Very good. Do we have to vote? We should vote on that, correct?
No.
No, we just said it. Very good.
Just said
it. All right, continue
okay.
on, Dr. Cornwell.
All right, so now, call to the public. Hello, public.
Somebody there. Peg Healer, physical therapist. I'm a member of the public. And I will just say I regret that the board no longer introduces discussions of complaints and investigations by some kind of a kickoff summary, which means for the public who's listening in on your deliberations, it's all like you're talking in Siberian because we don't know what the matters are. You immediately start with your solutions towards whatever matter it is. So you should have an investigator who would kind of kickoff discussion. The board may want to consider whether it's helpful for the public record to reflect the nature of what these informal or these initial reviews are dealing with. Chris, food for thought.
All right. Thank you. Anything else?
Hello, I'm Sandra Sanders, physical therapist, and thank you for approval today for my license in Arizona. For this process of this application, I did get confused because in some of the documents on the website, the address is still your old address. So I would just plead to the board, and I could discuss with the administration, they're going to look at it, make sure in the sections, and I know the handbook has the old address, so when this new one is getting printed to, before it goes to the ink. But thank you, and I appreciate all you do. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Both of those duly noted. Thank you. If there's nothing else, then I move that we adjourn.
Second.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Dr. Pistillo?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Aye.
Meeting's adjourned.
At 10:13.